There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean. Glad to have you here. Next 2 hours, you and I. Phone number, text line, 343-0106. We'll have some times to talk over the next 2 hours. And let me point this out to you. It's gorgeous outside. Right now, it's still August, but clear skies out there. And it was out overnight last night. And if it stays clear again tonight, that Perseid, I think it's Perseid meteor shower. The junior astronomers out there can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the Perseid meteor shower, was showing out last night. I mean, it looked good. I mean, I would see a, you know, what I call a shooting star, probably, I don't know, look at me once every 15 minutes or so. It's cool. So maybe that happens again tonight. You're out after dark and get to check that out. All right. And by the way, too, on the... not the meteors, but the meteorological front. It looks like right now, eyes on Apalachicola for Tropical Depression Fred. I got this thing about Apalachicola. You've noticed it always shows up in the hurricane forecasting, right? In the cones of uncertainty. And Apalachicola is always like in the cone, but never gets hit. I mean, even when Michael came in, right? That storm that did such damage to the areas around Mexico Beach and all that over in the panhandle of Florida. Apalachicola was all right. Mexico Beach, you know, we know what happened to those folks. But they're talking about that now. We get an update from Dr. Bill. We'll pass along to you during the show. All right. Also, talk. This is just, once again, this is anecdotal versus like a press release. But my inbox this morning on the email, whenever I came to, the inbox this morning was like, I think I had seven different emails, some personal, some like work related, for cancellations and rescheduling of events. Now, we can look at the stats on the surge in cases of the Delta variant. We've been talking about it for a month around here. But I just, like, my inbox was like thing after thing after thing, rescheduled, moved to Zoom meeting and all that. So here we go again. And we'll talk more about that. But first, let's talk about half a world away, a full world away. But a place that has been part of our lives as Americans for 20 plus years, and that is Afghanistan. And yesterday, the presser that rolled out to talk about bringing 3,000 troops in after pulling 2,500 out of Afghanistan. And to set this up, if y'all are new to the show, I've been one and deferred to my friends that fought there for their opinion, but I've been one for pulling troops out for quite a while. It's one of the things that when former President Trump was campaigning, I said, man, this guy's got something that he keeps talking about this, and this is resonating with a lot of American people. It didn't happen completely during former President Trump. It has happened now under President Biden, but now bringing more troops in. I want to go to yesterday's press conference. So this is Defense Department spokesman John Kirby, Admiral John Kirby, speaking about the drawdown at the embassy in Kabul and what we're going to do to get everybody out safely.
I mean, there's a certain irony here that the drawdown was for 2,500 troops, and you're sending in an additional 3,000 to get out civilians, mm-hmm. And ramping it up super quick. And on top of that, another 3,500 in Kuwait. I mean, what is the irony here? If for people who might be asking, Isn't this ironic that in order to get out the 2,500, you're having to ramp up significantly?
No, I don't see. I don't share your view of the irony, Louis. This is a very temporary mission for a very specific purpose. That's a big difference than saying you're deploying for, you know, 8, 9, 12 months, forces to stabilize and secure Afghanistan, which we've been doing for the last 20 years. This is a very narrowly defined, very temporary mission.
All right. Did you feel over the last couple of days or the last couple of weeks or maybe during that press conference yesterday, did anybody run the video in their head of the fall of Saigon? Those pictures of, and what stories too, but the last folks out and the helicopters out and the people clutching to the skids on the helicopters getting out. It's not analogous here, but it does have that vibe of getting the last folks out. And that tells, the tell here is you have President Biden speaking and talking about, well, you know, and I'll say this, defer to the most recent press conference from President Biden. He did as much as he can in his own way. Castigate the Afghani forces to stand strong, and they got to do their thing, and they got to stand up, and they got to do this. But in previous press conferences, remember, I mean, I've been talking about this for weeks and weeks now on this show, and saying the Afghan forces are not going to stand against the Taliban. I mean, in a very kind of morbid thing I talk about with Dalton, I've been saying it's not lasting more than a month, you know, before the Taliban's, and now we're down to 3 weeks on my bet on how long before the Taliban takes pretty much full control of Afghanistan. But you've got this situation where you have something that's inevitable, and not because the Taliban's obviously a great fighting force. They have been. They'll lay up until the time to strike is ready. I mean, they're going to be there. It's not like you're feeding and supplying a full army. These people are doing other things, and then when it's time, they grab the Kalashnikov and go to war. So you've got the Afghan forces there. We left the first. Remember the first time we left, abandoning like Bagram Air Force Base, right? And all the supplies that were commandeered by the Taliban. Now we're trying to get people out, our people, and the people that fought alongside. And I say, so if you're somebody, and I think that's been too late, the retributions have taken place across Afghanistan already for those people that work with the U.S. But if you're somebody who, okay, two things. If you're somebody who is worried about the help you gave our country in Afghanistan, are you fighting right now on the front lines against the Taliban? Or are you trying to figure out how to get yourself to Kabul and get on a plane out of there, right? What are you concentrating on? You concentrating on fighting, or are you concentrating on getting out? I can tell you which one most people would be. I wrote this morning early. The overthrow snowball, or maybe we could say speedball, since it's Afghanistan and heroin production, is going to build because of writing's on the wall. You know, in times past, a lack of communications might keep tar on the heels of like fighting forces because they didn't know they had a losing deal, right? They would keep fighting because they didn't know kind of what was going on elsewhere, what the realpolitik of it. But they do now. Even if you're in Herat, there's somebody with a cell phone getting information, news, video from the rest of the country. You're hearing press conferences from the United States. What do you do? Are you going to stand and fight if you're those people? No, you're going to try to get your butt to Kabul. And I'm not talking like I haven't had a military training on this. I'm just human beings. Or you're going to try to put down your weapons and blend back in. So this overthrow of the Afghan forces by Taliban is going to be, every day is going to get faster and faster, not just because of the strength of the Taliban, but because of the situation that any given, I'm Sean Afghanistan. I'm a guy who grew up there. I got wife and kids or whatever. Why am I going to stand with the Afghan forces because we're not going to win. And I don't have nationalistic pride. If that happens in the United States, I love my country. In Afghanistan, they don't have. This is the brand new. This is the new boss, right? Of the Afghani government, the American backed, the Karzai legacy government. You're not going to. The Taliban's the old boss. You can do everything you can to keep your head, literally and figuratively, or get out of the country when the last flight's out, or die. So, and go back to more of this, but it's It's something. And to watch, listen to this too. Here's some video, some audio from some video that came out yesterday. This was telling too. This is from WION News. Now understand, when you look at YouTube, and you'll see right now, if you look at Afghanistan, you're going to see tons of news feeds. Understand the bias that can be here, right? That there's groups going to put out different versions of this story because for consumption here stateside, but also they realize that there's cell phones popping in Kandahar province as people are trying to figure out, or wherever in Afghanistan, trying to figure out what's going on. But listen to this explanation from last night. So this is the on-the-scene reporter. They are in Herat, and he's talking about how the fighting is taking place in Herat. Let's go to this one, cut three.
In Herat, there is a sense of insecurity. These roads, which are hustling and bustling, this very market where I'm standing, this would wear a deserted look come 4 p.m. when the fighting commences. The fighting intensifies from 8 p.m. till around 11. Then we see air strikes, and around 2 a.m. in the night, the fighting stops.
Is that shocking to you at all? I mean, maybe in the broader sense, we always talk about the fighting season, right? And that was even shown in Afghanistan, the way the Taliban fought. You know, seasonally, and its armies have done that forever, right? I mean, you pick everything from Alexander the Great through the Revolutionary War to what's going on in Afghanistan. Now there's fighting season, but there's fighting times during the day now. That at 4 p.m., everybody shows up there, it's time to fight, okay? They fight till about 11 or so, and then at 1, the airstrikes come in. Well, that's us, right? Bring the airstrikes in. Does that sound like that's the Afghanistan government trying to win the war? Or is that the Afghanistan government trying to slow down the Taliban long enough that their senior officials and people that are on list of the Taliban can get their butt to Kabul and get out? And if we think that there's going to be sticky heels, and I'm sure, and I've talked enough to my friends that fought there, that there are some good fighters that fought for the government of Afghanistan, not the Taliban. But they weren't the rule. That when the tide would turn, you had this worry about abandonment. Well, the tide has turned. It's a tsunami coming. And now we're putting 3,000 troops in to get, after reducing by 2,500. And then we went back in, what was it, yesterday? We're going to... One of the questions is, what's the negotiation situation with the Taliban? Why is the Taliban going to negotiate with us now? When we're bringing people in, remember, I'm the guy that wants us out of there. But how we get out of there and what we leave and what that says to the legacy of so many who fought, died, and were wounded. It saddens me. All right, so we'll talk about that this hour as well with you at 343-0106. I know we're getting a lot of texts about this, 343-0106. That's on the way. Oh, plus, just like the conversation we've been having over the Mobile municipal elections, asking folks about annexation, and the discussion of annexation pretty much is probably going to be back up as soon as we get done with this the elections in Mobile. Because you're going to have new players in the mix. It's worth asking the question again, because no matter what, there'll be new faces on the Mobile City Council. And one of the discussions about annexation is this idea of what it means to get the city of Mobile over the 200,000 mark in population for grants and this and that. And also this question about being the biggest city or the second biggest city in Alabama or third biggest city. We've now switched up at the top. Huntsville's now... Can you believe this? I mean, if you had told me this when I was in high school, it really surprised me. Huntsville, now, of course, it's the city limits, and we know the discussion. That's why we're talking annexation. Huntsville now is the highest populated city in the state. Is that surprising to you? Huntsville, number one. Birmingham, then Montgomery. Mobile, fourth. Now, not just in ranking. To strut around about. I mean, we're the place that had a two tag, right? We're the two tag county. And now we're the fourth in the state. And Huntsville's the biggest city. So that's also on our list to talk about. Plus, scams surrounding the eviction moratorium. We'll do that in the 1 o'clock hour. All right, coming right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, this segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. I was just texting with my buddy Trey this morning. Here's how it works. So we've used 1-800-GOT-JUNK at the house just recently here at the business. It's nice. You just, because, you know, a lot of times you got like a big project, but you find other things to put in front of it in line, like, oh, well, I need to do this first or that first. Okay. Well, bring the pros in. If you got junk you need removed, you got stuff you don't know where to take it, it's too big to move, it's something you don't have time for, you know, with allocation of your time by money, get on the phone, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They will set an appointment with you. They'll find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you. Then they show up. And what you do is you just walk over there and, like, you know, if it's something as big as getting a playhouse removed from a backyard or something as simple as maybe just getting, like, boxes out of the attic, or maybe it could be at your office. You want to get – maybe you've gone all digital and you've got, you know – how many do we have? 6 metal file cabinets in the back. You want to get rid of whatever it is. You got junk, you want it gone, you get with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And it's an easy deal. Set the appointment. Maybe do it today. I know that you're not going to set the appointment because it's Friday, right? You want to get your Friday on. Why don't you set an appointment for Monday or Tuesday and get them to get rid of the junk. Check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Yeah, and Dalton and I were talking during the break there about this my discussion about the situation in Afghanistan, which I want to hear from you on. And I said, because he was talking about, he said, well, you know, the Afghan leaders there and overseeing the continued production of opium, you know, of poppy seed, right, and making heroin and all that. Yeah, and then the cash that was flown out. We've been doing this, I guess, I was talking about this since we launched this radio station. And the stories about the money that would leave out of the airport in Kabul. And then I looked back, so I Googled it for a second, and there's several stories here. But this one from, this is a story published Monday, July 5th, 2010, which would have been my whatever birthday. That's my birthday. And the headline here, Afghanistan, this is now, y'all, time machine here. This is 2010. Afghanistan, $4.2 billion in mysterious cash flown out of Kabul since 2007. So from 07 to 10, $4.2 billion flown out. And I remember reporting these stories that people had pictures that there were like pallets. I remember seeing the pictures. Pallets of American dollars, like wrapped in the, you know, the tight wrap. It's like the industrial, not even Visqueen, the industrial saran wrap stuff around them and being loaded on planes and flown out. So if money that had come in made its way through the system there in Afghanistan, it was being flown to points elsewhere, cash. So this is the legacy government of that is what's asking these folks to stand and fight the Taliban right now. Who's the old boss? Who's been there forever? So he's asking the Tar Heels. I'm making a Tar Heel reference to the Carolina troops in the Civil War, right? They were called Tar Heels because they stood their ground. I don't think you're going to see, I'm not saying there's not individual people that are going to stand their ground for the Afghanistan government, but if they open their cell phone here, you know, in some far-flung province of Afghanistan, and hear our press conferences, and once again, to be fair, y'all, I'm somebody who wanted us to bring the troops home a long time ago from there. But the way this fall is happening, like Bill said, yeah, Bill, I've said the same thing, that reminiscent of the fall of Saigon, yeah, there's this, and there's a question about not just our people are first, obviously, are in their time. I don't really fear for the diplomatic staff. I think they get them out of there. I think the Taliban knows better than that. But how about the people that stood with the United States for 20 years and fought alongside? Not all of them were perfect. Lord knows you had. But what about those people that made a commitment to us? I mean, you could think about, you know, got a lot of people, thank God, out of Vietnam. South Vietnam, and a lot of those folks are now part of our community here, which I think is fantastic. But then, you know, across the border, the Hmong in Laos, most of them were left that helped the U.S. troops. Look at the groups in Iraq that helped us that were left. In the press conference yesterday, I thought they said the number could be as high as 70,000 that were on that list. So if we have that list of people that helped us, don't you think the Taliban does? And if you're one of those people, are you standing and fighting right now against the Taliban? Or are you trying to get your butt on an airplane? All right. Get the news update next, and coming right back to your calls.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Get your calls here in just a second. What y'all say hello to my friend Larry Kirby at LCM Motor Cars. And I know that the inventory's moving through LCM because it's almost daily, really, if not daily, that I'm at the traffic light and there's my truck and a couple others with that LCM logo on there. So, Larry, obviously people picking up those vehicles from y'all and you're getting new vehicles in.
Absolutely. We get them daily. Matter of fact, we got three trucks yesterday, and I think we talked about them earlier in the week, but we got great selection of fresh inventory trucks, especially, and we got SUVs, mid-size, full-size. We got tremendous selection of cars, especially some of the gas misers everybody's is wanting, and a lot of them are still under factory warranty and super low miles.
I like that. And those financing options still looking good?
Absolutely. The credit unions are real aggressive. They're calling us looking for good customers, so they got their great rates. We can get, you know, for qualified buyers under 3%.
Cha-ching. I love it. Tell folks how to find you.
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby from LCM Motor Cars. All right. Hey, y'all see that on the monitor? Dalton, if you see that. So, remember when the press conference earlier, just back to this Afghanistan thing for a second. I watched this and I said, but they're saying, well, everything's fine, everything's good. It's a measured withdrawal. Everything will be fine. Now, you know, yesterday's presser, not so good. You got 3,000 troops going back in. Now, a unnamed defense official, let's see, is saying, now, this is just one person. Just because it's a headline and one person says it, that's another thing, too. Like, if you go, well, somebody on Twitter said it. Well, yeah, somebody on Twitter said that monkeys can fly, too. So, but there's an unnamed defense official telling Fox News that Kabul could fall by tomorrow. Tomorrow. Now that's what I'm... That's the vibe I've been getting because of this. Why would you stick with it, right? I mean, if you helped out the United States and you know they know, the Taliban knows you did, you're trying to get your butt to Kabul and get on airplane, right? And if you're somebody who doesn't think you're high enough up on the list to get out, what are you trying to do? You're going to put down your weapons and you remove anything that would identify you as somebody that fought with the Afghan government forces and try to blend back into whatever it is to survive. It's a snowball effect, or as I said at the beginning of the show with a reference to the damn heroin that comes out there, a speedball effect of what's happening. Oh, and then, okay, this, I want to read this because this brings up another discussion point, too. So Drewski, who says, when I was in the Corps back around 2008-ish, thank you, Drewski. From all of us in my family, I remember reading an article, if I remember correctly, in the Military Times about the mountains of Afghanistan having huge deposits of lithium, but I've never heard a thing about it since. I think I heard that too, but I don't think I've heard about it since. I've always wondered why there was no follow-up news about it. Was it a false claim or is it being buried? I don't know. I could try to find out, but I don't know if I have any more access than just any of us would on that. But you think about the lithium there, right? Or these products that what country would love to have that access? I know Drewski already answered it to himself there, but I'm just asking what country would love that, and what country do you think could do what the Russians couldn't do, what we couldn't do? What country in that neighboring country, not neighbor, but in the hood, the general area could do it? Who was Jeff talking about the LCS this morning? Who are they talking about? The Chinese. Don't you think the Chinese are going to look at this? And I'm for bringing our people home. This is what I've wanted for a long time. Not like this. I think this has not been done very well, this leaving of Afghanistan. But the Chinese, if you're going to leave a vacuum, which I don't, you know, how much of a vacuum's left with the Taliban filling back in, I don't know. But the Chinese, the things that we encumbered our fighting forces with in Afghanistan, Chinese aren't going to encumber their fighting forces with that. And the Chinese are wanting to gain ground and research. Don't you think they're trying to get in there? I mean, it's got to be tempting to the Chinese. I wonder what we'll see on that. All right. And look at this. Fred is so Drewski. We got Fred helping us. This is the crowdsourcing of this show. Fred said, top six countries in the world with the largest lithium reserves: Bolivia, Argentina, Chile, the United States, and Australia. Okay, so what does Fred, can you do some digging? Does Afghanistan make the top 25 preseason polls or anything on that? Can you look that up? I appreciate you getting me the information. All right, let's get to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. RC is in Mobile and first up. Hey, RC.
Hey, brother, how you doing today?
I'm all right, man. What's up? What you got?
Man, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a red-blooded American, brother.
Thank you.
God bless America.
So, as have I.
Oh, yeah, bro. If you read the Bible and understand that God said his country will borrow from none and lend to all, America is that country.
So what,
we can survive without any other country in the world.
Okay, so what does that mean for, I mean, you're speaking specifically for Afghanistan, or what are you thinking?
Afghanistan, man, look what happened 9/11. The way they bombed us over here on our own soil, man.
Right.
And why in the world are we backing down? We send 3,000 troops over there to get our people out. Hey, stand up and have a backbone. Our presidents need to have a backbone. Say, hey, buddy, we're giving you 24 hours to get out, or we're fixing to bomb you.
Do you think we should stay there, though? What do we accomplish? You're going to have to turn down your radio. We get that crazy effect there. Do you think if we stay there, what are we going to accomplish? I mean, we're not going to the folks there aren't going to change.
Money, we're supposed to be their allies. Why not support what we stood up for? We're going to be your allies. And now the Taliban want to take over. Man, blow them off the face of the map. We're giving you 24 hours, and hey, brother, we're fixing to blow you up.
I think we could if the Taliban would say, okay, hey, all Taliban, we're going to go down in this valley, and we're going to assemble our troops and be ready. Here's the Taliban guys, and we're all going to go from there. But for some reason, we lost RC. Okay, well, but RC, to answer, I mean, you'd say, okay, here's like some idea like the Prussians lining up for battle in a European theater, that they would be all right here, and then you could bomb. We don't fight wars like that anymore. You got a Taliban here. You've got a innocent child there. You have somebody who's waiting to see which side's going to win over there. I mean, I'm for bringing our warriors home. I'm happy with that. So when I talk about this stuff in the fall, I'm not saying, hey, let's stay there. I'm saying, we have these pressers, and we're acting like everything's, fine, and they're going to stand up and make it, and it seems to fail the sniff test to me. All right, Daniel's in Foley up next. Hey, Daniel.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, man.
I joined the Army in December of 1999.
Thank you.
And was active duty through September 11th, and then deployed, to Iraq in 2003 and Afghanistan in 2008. I even
Thank
deployed
you.
In Kosovo in 2003. Crap, I catch it a long time ago.
Wow.
But to the point, we were always going to hit this conclusion in Afghanistan. It's something that every government and every president since Bush has tried to avoid during their presidency. But it's been a trap in Afghanistan for many armies well before the Russians and even before us. Just the terrain and the way their government and people are there, they have to fight for themselves, and they're not united enough to ever be a country.
So, unfortunately,
we need to just stop wasting American lives and money there, and it's going to fall.
Your opinion is the best. Somebody who's fought there, like my friends that have fought there, and that's before I've ever opened my mouth on this years ago, I called them and said, what do you think? And one of my buddies said, Sean, he said, a guy that I had served with there, his son is now there. So two generations there, and he said, this is not a two-generation war. What are we doing for two, and that really struck me. And you said that the idea of the people, how they are there. If they don't want us, they don't want, we're trying to set up a government that doesn't fit, right? It's like me trying to get in a medium shirt anymore. It's not happening. So why keep trying?
The Taliban were the only ones who really, could keep any form of governments there, because it's a whole bunch of different tribes. None of them believe in anything, or at least each other. They, you know, it's all about themselves, so it's hard to unite them under a government and it to function and people to fight and put their lives, you know, on the line for that country when it's all very separate and segregated.
Do you think that they get bigger than their borders again or become a terrorist, training ground again?
Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to go back to the way it was.
Wow. Daniel, I appreciate your service to our country, and I appreciate your insight on this more than you can know.
Hey, I love listening to you. I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you, Daniel. Well, I appreciate you, man. That's what's real right there. Let's go to Fire Dog in Daphne. Fire Dog.
So I was in part of the Air Force intelligence back in the late 2000s, early. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Were you there with the Air Force or private contractor? Or?
No, I was there with the Air Force. There are several problems that we've got in dealing with getting people out of there. One, the translators that we had were absolutely wonderful, and I would like to get them out of there. It's imperative that we do that. These people helped us. They saved American lives by translating. The other problem that we have is with any sort of insurrection or asymmetrical warfare. This isn't Germany in 1945 where we can smash their entire industry to pieces.
Right.
So they can't make war against us because the Russians, the Iranians, and everybody are simply bringing troops and armaments and weapons and everything in.
Yeah, there's not a munitions factory, right?
That?
It's not like we're not bombing a munitions factory or somebody a place making armaments. There's
right. There's no way to stop them to the ability to make war, which is generally the point of having one. So 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, this was still going to be an issue. Why they weren't prepared for this when they said we're going to pull out at this date is just beyond me. Now, putting in another 3,000 troops for a strike force, if that's necessary and that's what they need to do and it's a temporary thing, not there saying we're going to be there for 6 months or 12 months, but get them in there. Stabilize the situation, get them out.
So, and I absolutely see what you're saying. Why, and it's seconding this question like you have, why we didn't see this coming. That's my question. Why do we have to, we have to do it. I want our people out. I want the people we made promise to, Afghans, get them out as well. But why didn't we see this coming, Fire Dog? I mean, I'm just a civilian. And I look at this and go, should have been planned out better. Maybe Fire Dog's lack of an answer is where we all are on this. Let's go to Jim in beautiful Lillian, Alabama next. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
Army vet here.
Thank you.
Retired 2014. The combat engineer served over there, lost friends over there. And the only thing I could say is I kind of agree with you, man. Let's just wash our hands and walk away. Hey. I don't think there's anything ever going to change. That nation has always been at war. They have a saying. It's me and my brother, me against my brothers, me and my brothers against my cousins, me and my cousins and brothers against the world.
Wow.
That's just the way they are. They're very tribal. The Taliban is winning because they rule with brutality, and people are scared of them. And, you know, and just like most Western societies, when we tell them to do something, and tell them there's going to be repercussions, our repercussions have no teeth. So they're more scared of the Taliban than they are of us, and that's exactly why they're going to win.
You distilled it better than anybody out there. Jim, thank you. And thank you for your service. So Jim and Lillian checking in. Let's go to Bill in Mobile. Bill.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that for the listeners out there, look up Kafiristan. You know, if you look at the history of Kafiristan, which was made famous by the film The Man Who Would Be King with Sean Connery and Michael Caine, even Islam had a hard time conquering Afghanistan.
And when that was so, Kafiristan, was that Pakistan or was that?
No, that was Kafiristan was right there in the little pass there between
like the Khyber,
close to Pakistan. That's right there on the border,
like the Khyber Pass in there.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Kafiristan, it's right there on the Pakistani-Afghan border,
okay.
But for a long time, that was, even the Muslims left that place alone because they were, you know, it was unconquerable. The will to resist. And not only that, but just, again, people talk about the terrain. I think the bottom line, though, is we all ask these questions rationally in our minds, but the rationality of the institutions of our system here that's rooted in making money off of war and things like that, I still go back to the initial phase of the war. They should have just done mark and reprisal like they did with the Barbary Pirates back in the old days.
Let the Marine Corps do what the Marine Corps does.
Yeah, this whole nation-building thing had nothing to do with us, our country, or, for that matter, our troops. We were all just pawns, and this is just pure propaganda. Was pure propaganda to try to get us to go along with this war, and we're sitting here asking ourselves these rational questions. But the bottom line is somebody made a lot of money, and they used us and our good name to accomplish their ends. These are mercenary groups that are running our foreign policy, and they need to be dealt with somehow, some way. There needs to be reform in this system because it's a total joke and a disaster for our country.
I'll stand with you on that, Bill, and I appreciate your call. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I get just a second here. Well, grab calls and a text or two. So many coming in. But I also want to add this while we're on this subject. So I got a note from my friends at Battleship Memorial Park. Coming up, of course, next month. 20th, and I hate the word is accurate. I always have trouble with it, though. It's a 20th anniversary commemoration service. This anniversary always seems positive to me, but 20 years commemoration service of 9/11. That'll be at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, September 11th, at Battleship Memorial Park. Another one of our folks I think about in one of these discussions, Brad Israel, will be the keynote speaker, and we'll be talking about that coming up in the next couple weeks. But reminding you, so that is, oh my gosh, 20 years. And that service is starting at 8 a.m. Battleship Memorial Park, Saturday, September 11th. All right, let me go fast here. Oh my gosh. Let's go to Don in McDavid, Florida. Hey, Don.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, I would love to say let's just come home from Afghanistan, but in a perfect world, I think that would work wonderful, but China's over there right now working with the Taliban.
Well, that's what I said. They're going to move in there. But, I mean, is it worth what we've gone through there and would continue to go through there to keep China from going in there? I don't know. I mean, I think it's a fair question.
Well, I think I'm not an expert, but I noticed they're in Samoa right now. They're giving money to Samoa and propping up their whatever they need, trying to take a foothold. They've went into the Philippines. They're all over the South Pacific.
They were in Central America, right?
We got to stop them. Slow them down. One.
There we go. Don, appreciate the call. I mean, I think they also get my. Let me just see. I'll blanket it this way. They're somewhere in Central America. There may be several places in Central America attempting to build. Hey, listen, they're doing what we would do, right? Right. They're trying to get allies and get a foothold here. It's what they're. I mean, what about China? I mean, what about Cuba? China and Cuba? I mean, it's, but is that a reason to stay? Got the hard break here. The news will come back for this discussion. But yeah, somebody's asked me once again. So it's 8 a.m. It's at the Battleship Memorial Park. We'll tell you a lot more about this between now and then. But 20 years since 9/11, and that event, 8 a.m. on September 11th, which is a Saturday.